is Express FM. Supported by Southern Co-op. We are passionately Pompey.
Whipped in towards the near post. Headed from Naylor. And Tom Naylor scores the first goal of the Danny Cowley era.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
It's a club with unbelievable football traditions. A real football city. We feel really proud and privileged to be here.
Action and reaction.
We've all seen last minute runs. We have to keep the faith.
Time for a fresh start. I think we can do it.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
No one should ever step onto this island and control a game at Fratton Park. That's the philosophy that many Pompey fans want.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The Blues are one step closer to the League One playoffs.
The final whistle goes at Plough Lane. Portsmouth have beaten AFC Wimbledon by 3-1.
There's just one game remaining for Pompey to secure a top six finish, and head coach Danny Cowley has been heaping praise on his players.
I think we have to credit the players for creating this opportunity, and now what the best players do and what the best teams do is when an opportunity presents itself, they take it.
The United Services of Portsmouth are also in action this weekend. Glenn Turnbull has been speaking about last week's celebrations ahead of their FA Vars semi-final.
It was a little bit subdued, and I think they're getting subdued because there's the belief there that job done, on to the next one. So yeah, it was good, and a few beers were sunk afterwards at various places, which was great, but it was still a great celebration.
Quarter-final goal scorer James Franklin believes that low expectation has played a big part in them getting so far.
We like being the underdogs. I think when there's no pressure on us, we seem to perform a bit better. When we play teams, no disrespect, from our league, we're probably expected to win probably 90% of the games in the season. And sometimes when teams sit in against us, we can struggle to break them down. But I think a lot of the teams have underestimated us.
We've got two huge games to preview this evening. So without any further ado, let's head straight into it. You're listening to Express FM, and this is the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to the show, which is being driven to you tonight by Stagecoach across the South. Well, we have reached match day number 46, Blues fans, the final game of the League One season, and Pompey are just one victory away from securing a place in the playoffs. Their destiny is in their own hands. All they have to do on Sunday is beat Accrington Stanley and not worry about results elsewhere. It truly is that simple. This evening, we are asking you back home, our wonderful listeners and loyal Blue Army, have you seen an improvement to Pompey's mental strength since the arrival of the Cowley brothers? Who makes your starting 11 for Sunday's final game of the season? And would you be tempted to include the returning Jack Watmore from the off? Or does Paul Downing deserve to retain his place at the back? To get involved, text the word EXPRESS, followed by your name and message to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com. You can tweet in to @expressfm or visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/PompeyLive. And be sure to throw in a score prediction whilst you're at it too. We are, however, going to start this evening's show a little bit differently. We've had plenty of time to reflect on Saturday's win over Wimbledon. In fact, we had the entire hour on Tuesday night to do just that. And we've got plenty more to cram into this episode. So we will jump straight in to preview another big game involving a club on our island. In that they are based just a stone's throw away from our studios here at Express FM, the United Services of Portsmouth. Over the past month or so, we've been tracking their incredible FA Vars run, and we've had the pleasure of speaking to manager Glenn Turnbull about it on a weekly basis too. They have reached the semi-final stage of the competition, and tomorrow they host Binfield at the Victory Stadium. The winners will compete in the final at Wembley on Saturday the 22nd of May. Sam Carter is one of two guests on the other end of the line tonight. Sam, a very good evening to you, mate. We will, of course, come on to Pompey's big game a little later on. But the United Services, let's talk about them. You've had the privilege of covering their incredible run in the FA Vars this season, and now they are just 90 minutes away from Wembley. Phenomenal.
It's a really pretty romantic story, isn't it, Jake? A tier 10, I believe it is, side from our island, and they're now 90 minutes away from Wembley. Yeah, it's one for the, you know, the football romantics out there, but a real underdog story. They've played seven games in their cup run, and they've played six teams from the division above, and all of those they've disposed of, and another one on Saturday, and hopefully they'll get past those two, and they'll be playing underneath the arch.
Yeah. Let's welcome in now Tom Malley, who also joins us this evening. Tom, pleasure to have you back on the show, mate.
Thank you very much, mate. Always good to be on.
And Tom, me and Sam have just spoken about the United Services and their inspiring underdog story in this season's FA Vars. What an achievement it has already been to go this far, but what an achievement it would be if they were to win tomorrow and represent non-league football in our city on the biggest stage, the home of football, Wembley Stadium.
Oh, I know. And you think of Pompey have been there twice in the last 3 years, you know, selling more than 40,000 tickets for each one, but to have another team from the city going there to play as well is just quite something. I don't think we've really had this before, at least not for a very long time, something of this larger scale. So, you know, it would be absolutely huge, not for just them, but for the city as well, to have the second team representing them.
Yeah. Sam, you spoke to the manager, Glenn Turnbull, earlier this week, didn't you, to get his pre-match thoughts ahead of tomorrow's game?
Yeah, I did. Went down to the training ground yesterday and just had a little chat with him before training started, and yeah.
Should we take a listen to that now then? Sam Carter here spoke to manager Glenn Turnbull at the training ground last night.
Saturday wasn't bad, was it, Glenn? Another FA Vars game, another side from the tier above, and another victory.
Yeah, here we are again. Yeah, and they're all going to be the same. This Saturday will be exactly the same. Another side that will be going in massively the underdogs, but another weekend where we get the opportunity for winner stays on.
So you looked very dangerous on the counter-attack on Saturday. Was that something you kind of targeted?
Listen, when you get to the semi-finals or the quarter-finals of a national competition and we are the step six side, we are going to be coming up against better sides. I think it's Flackwell Heath were the best side we've played through this competition. That's no disrespect to Christchurch or Millbrook or Tavistock or Brockenhurst or Porchy or anyone, but they were the best side we played. So we knew we were going to be under the cosh. We knew the way that we felt that they would play. We set the game plan up to get everything inside. You heard Bartow shouting it and screaming it from the side there. Get everything coming into traffic, even though we knew they had a left footer that played on the right and a right footer that played on the left. So they were strong in theory coming inside. But the plan was when they were coming in, show them a welcoming committee, two midfield, and the centre defence. We should have had enough into that. But then when we had the ball to get at them quickly, I think the goal, first half, Franco took that really well, but it was a good pass by Jack Chandler. Then my dad said Saturday night, he said, oh, it looked like you were a bit lucky. So I don't agree. We were lucky. Yeah, they had lots of the ball. Yeah, they did have a few crosses, but crosses are great if there's no one in there. That's ideal for us. Put them across, show them inside, no worries. So we had that, and then I thought we broke, and actually we could have had two or three as well after Sarge's goal.
Well, talking about Sarge's goal, was it a bit of a shock to see him up that far up the pitch in the 87th minute?
Do you know what? Everyone's got a perception of Sarge. You'll laugh because he's your mate. He's the ugly player. He goes and does the ugly stuff. But do you know what? Every week he goes and shows he's got so much more than that. I've got so much pride and respect in him because we've rotated that midfield three, or necessarily rotated Jordan and Sarge around Cali. And there's been times when he's played really well but had to miss out the next week. And we brought him in for the Christchurch game on the Thursday night when we found out about JP's suspension. And he took it in his stride, and I thought he was man of the match, to be fair, against Christchurch. And then down at Tavistock, I think there was three standout players and he was in the three. And then again, I thought Saturday, there was two or three we asked to be 8 out of 10s. Go and be my 8 out of 10 man. And he was in that group again. So to get the goal at the end, brilliant. I was so proud, so chuffed. You know, we've known Sarge, been around since the Neil Milton days, little six-year-old tot turning up in his England shirt and his mismatched socks and shorts and everything. But what a way for him to keep growing and growing and growing. And it was just brilliant that he got that goal.
And obviously the scenes after the final whistle, you know, the party atmosphere and everything, it's becoming quite, you know, common scene. They're great lads, aren't they?
I actually felt Saturday was a little bit more subdued. Me in particular, obviously I celebrated again at the end. No 6 foot jumps this time, stretching my hamstring or anything like that. But it was a little bit subdued, and I think they're getting subdued because there's the belief there that job done, on to the next one. So yeah, it was good. And a few beers were sunk afterwards at various places, which was great. But yeah, it was still a great celebration and people were like, oh, that was really, really good. But Tavistock was louder than that and Christchurch was louder than Tavistock. So it's not getting conceited, but as I say, it's just getting week on week on week, just that little more assured into what we're doing.
United Services of Portsmouth boss Glenn Turnbull, who spoke earlier in the week to Sam Carter, who joins us tonight on the Football Hour. Sam, nice interview, mate. You went down to training last night to source that, and you've been doing bits for the club for a while now. Talk us through what you've been doing and what it's like to be given that kind of access to a non-league side who are unfortunately unable to welcome fans in at the moment.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like you said, the fans aren't there anyway. And obviously no disrespect to United Services, but they're not at one of those levels where they do get many fans in. But obviously here at Portsmouth, we love our football. We love our local football. And it's really good to be able to kind of put their cup run out there, because, I mean, it's been out there plenty in the press over the last couple of weeks, what they've been doing. But to be able to, you know, open a few more eyes to that is really quite a privilege. And they really are like a brilliant group of lads there. They've got a really great team spirit, and they've got that confidence that, you know, they can go out there and they can beat anyone. And like I said earlier, they have really beat so many sides from the division above and in this cup run. And although they've got another one, Binfield on Saturday in this huge occasion for the club, and Binfield come into it fresh off a 5-0 win and in the last round in the quarterfinals, you know, they just they're not scared of them. They know their ability and they know what they can do.
Yeah. Let's have a quick read through how the United Services got to this stage of the competition, then the semi-final of the FA Vars. First of all, second qualifying round, a 2-1 victory over AFC Portchester. And then in the first round proper, it was a 3-1 win over Bournemouth at home. Second round saw a 2-1 victory against Brockenhurst, also at home at the Victory Stadium. In the third round, they took on Millbrook of the same division. That also was at home, and that also was a victory. 3-2 the scoreline to the United Services. In the fourth round, a little bit more difficult against Christchurch, 4-1 on penalties after a draw after 90 minutes. In the fifth round, a 3-1 victory over Tavistock just under 2 weeks ago. That was away, and Tavistock are of the division above, much like many of the opponents of United Services in this cup run. And in last weekend's quarterfinal, a 2-0 home win against Flackwell Heath at the Victory Stadium. Tom, undeniably, United Services have been labelled the giant killing kings. Throughout the last three or four rounds, they've taken on sides of the division above, two divisions above. They've got to this stage on the basis that, as Sam just mentioned there, they're going into these matches with no fear. They've got low expectation. Do you think that is really benefiting Glenn Turnbull's side more than anything else?
Definitely, 100%. You know, it would benefit anyone in this situation. And it's been an absolute marathon of a journey through this competition for them, going through all them rounds. But I think now they'll be more disappointed if they lose tomorrow than they would the quarterfinal, because I think they're so close to Wembley. So I think there might be a little bit more pressure on themselves this time, only from themselves, not from anyone else. But yeah, they've certainly benefited from being the underdog.
Okay, then also last night, Sam here spoke to attacking midfielder James Franklin, who scored the opener in last week's quarterfinal victory over Flackwell Heath.
So James, a goal and an assist on Saturday. You've got to look at that and say it's a job well done.
Yeah, I think I wasn't overall happy with my performance, but I think at the end of the day, all that matters is the team won. And probably one of my favourite USP goals scored. So, and to set Sarge up, who I thought was probably the man of the match, topped off a good performance.
Yeah, so obviously your goal was beautifully taken, finished, chipping a keeper who, you know, was not exactly a small keeper. Talk us through it.
Well, before the game, we saw the goalie warming up and someone said to me, oh, I bet no one's going to lob him today. So I took that as a challenge, and I think it was Chan who played the ball over the top to me, and I saw him running out and I thought, well, the only thing I can do is lob him, and I hit it. And to be honest, I thought I underhit it, so it took me a good 3 seconds to realise it had gone in, and then I heard the cheer from everyone, and then 1-0, and that was it.
So you're now 90 minutes away from a cup final at Wembley. Is that something you ever thought would happen in your footballing career?
Honestly, no. I think, like the rest of the lads, we drew Portis during the first round, and we knew that they'd spent a lot of money on players and that, and we thought this we could be out in the first round. So to play, I think we played 7 games, and be one game away from Wembley is just unbelievable for a step six side that aren't paying or, yeah. So.
And of course, a lot of, well, almost all the teams have been from the step above. How do you go about beating all those giant killings?
I think Glenn said to us, we like being the underdogs. I think when there's no pressure on us, we seem to perform a bit better. When we play teams, no disrespect in our league, we're probably expected to win probably 90% of the games in the season. And sometimes when teams sit in against us, we can struggle to break them down. But I think a lot of the teams have underestimated us, so it's definitely helped us.
And the gaffer says, you know, he talks a lot about the camaraderie and, you know, the real togetherness of this squad. So what's it like being a part of it?
Definitely the best squad I've ever been involved in. I think 2 seasons ago I was going to leave to go to Chichester, but I changed my mind, and probably one of the best seasons I've ever made, because the last 2 years have just been unbelievable. Like the WhatsApp group every day, making people laugh, and it's not just the camaraderie, there is some really good quality in this squad, which I think has helped us get this far in the competition.
A huge thanks to Sam Carter and the United Services of Portsmouth for allowing us to play out the pre-match thoughts of both Glenn Turnbull and James Franklin. Let's talk about James Franklin now, Sam. Franco, as he's known by his teammates, and the gaffer, obviously not giving too much away in case there are any, you know, Binfield scouts tuning in tonight, but he's a real key player to the United Services.
Yeah, he is. He's their top scorer this season, and I think he showed exactly what he can do on last Saturday in the quarterfinal against Flackwell Heath. He scored a brilliantly taken finish, lobbing the keeper, and as I said in there, he really was not a small keeper. He must have been about 6'5", 6'6", and to you know, chip it over him is some feat. But yeah, it was a beautiful finish, and he was just constantly running, constantly getting in behind, and he really is a danger to any side.
Yeah, another one to look out for this weekend, Sam. Jack Chandler, previously of Pompey, released at the end of his scholarship a couple of seasons back. How's he been doing?
Yeah, so they play with wing-backs, United Services, and obviously that's a lot of running to do. It's quite a focal point in modern football, a wing-back, isn't it? It's one of those new kind of positions where you get a lot of focus on playmaking, but also you have to do the defending and the attacking, you know. And he does give that real good balance of both. He's perfectly capable when it comes to the defending, and also, Franco said in that interview, he provided the assist for that, a brilliant ball over the top. And so, yeah, he's doing well. He's obviously probably at a bit lower level after being released from Portsmouth, you'd expect, but he's doing his bit, and he's got a bright future ahead of him, definitely.
OK, that is just about all we've got time for tonight to discuss the United Services of Portsmouth, who, in case you have just tuning in, are in FA Vars semi-final action this weekend. Glenn Turnbull's side take on Binfield on home soil, knowing that a win would see them progress to the final, which is due to be played at Wembley on Saturday the 22nd of May, just over 2 weeks from now. Right then, after the break, the three of us will be turning our attention to Pompey and what could potentially be their final match of the campaign. The Blues take on Accrington Stanley at Fratton Park on Sunday afternoon, and this evening we want to hear your pre-match thoughts and score predictions. Head to expressfm.com to find out how you can get in touch with the show tonight. Sam, Tom and I will be back to preview Pompey's regular season finale, bringing the curtain down on this 46-game League One campaign. The playoffs are within touching distance. Join us again shortly and don't go anywhere.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to this evening's instalment of the Football Hour, which is supported by Stagecoach Across the South. Be sure to download their app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store, where you can locate your nearest stop and even pay for your next ticket, avoiding having to do so when boarding for your journey. I'm joined live tonight by Blues supporters Sam Carter and Tom Malley, and now it's time to look ahead to the final game of the season. This Sunday, Accrington Stanley make the long journey down to Fratton Park for match day number 46. The visitors have nothing to play for in terms of promotion or relegation, but Danny Cowley's side go into a battle knowing that a win would secure a place in this year's League One playoffs. Before we go any further with the preview of Sunday's game, let's have a quick recap on how things unfolded last time out for the Blues when they travelled to Plough Lane last weekend to take on AFC Wimbledon.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's scored!
This is...
You wanna believe it?
Pompey Live.
And we are underway to Wimbledon. Immediately send the ball long, and Paul Downing's first touch within the side the opening 10 seconds is to come over the top of the centre forward and win a header. The flag does go up on this occasion for Piggott, who puts the ball in the back of the net, and the goal is going to be given because the offside flag went up. Piggott played on and put the ball in the bottom corner, and referee Charles Breakspear is saying he's not offside because the ball has come to him from Ben Close. And Wimbledon, amid confusion, have taken the lead in the midway point of the first half. Wimbledon 1, Portsmouth 0. Harness is going to chase a long ball down the right-hand side and break into the area. Good play from Harness. Can he pull it back? Across goal. It can't be finished initially by Marquis, but Curtis drills it home. And Portsmouth level a minute later. From Williams, we'll see across the pitch, Curtis in space. 40 yards out, driving towards the penalty area, up against Alexander. Curtis lays it off. Brown in the area. Lee Brown! Lee Brown scores! First of the season for Lee Brown, drills it into the bottom left corner. The finish of someone who's always in the goals. Curtis with him. What a lovely run from Williams. Can lay it into the box to Curtis. And Curtis is denied by a great challenge from Alexander. Just when it looked like he was about to pull the trigger, as Brown wins it back just outside the area. Brown into the box once more. Brown! Oh, what a brilliant goal! Lee Brown! Two in first half stoppage time. With the outside of his left foot in off the bar, and Portsmouth suddenly surge into a two-goal lead. Wimbledon 1, Portsmouth 3. The final whistle goes at Plough Lane. Portsmouth have beaten AFC Wimbledon by 3-1.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The short highlights there from Pompey's 3-1 victory over AFC Wimbledon last time out, the penultimate game of this League One season. Tom, 3-1 winners at Wimbledon last time out, an all-round good performance and a very important 3 points on the board.
Definitely, and coming from behind once again gives me more confidence that this team has some character and some mental stability in there somewhere. But yeah, three massive points. Now it's just up to us now on Saturday to get the job done.
Sunday. We can't forget, the game is taking place this Sunday. It's another movement from the Football League, from League One, but it's also one which we are actually used to. The final game of the season, quite often moved around. It will take place on Sunday afternoon. It's a 12 o'clock kickoff at Fratton Park. And Sam, Tom's just mentioned there the mental strength of Pompey to come back from behind on Saturday and claim all 3 points. It's something we weren't quite accustomed to prior to Danny and Nicky Cowley coming in and taking charge. But since they have arrived at Fratton Park, Pompey have seemed to come back into games more. We saw it last time out against Accrington, 10 days ago. 2-0 down at half-time, come back. We made it 3-2 in injury time. Unfortunately, gave away a goal in the dying embers of that game to let Accrington draw level. But nonetheless, the fighting spirit in this team, have you seen a dramatic improvement?
Yeah, definitely. We went on that horrendous run of not having a game, of getting the 3 points from a losing position. And that changed. I think it literally was the first game under the Cowleys, wasn't it, that changed? And then now we've done it again. We obviously got 1 point from Accrington from 2-0 down. And they do seem to have instilled that belief in the squad. And I think a few of the players have talked about that as well, how there really is that belief now. And the most important thing is now our own destiny is in our own hands. And going into Sunday, obviously, that is the most crucial thing. You don't want to be relying on other results. You want to go into that and say, look, if we win, we get into the playoffs. And so it's good that, although, okay, midweek the results didn't go in our favour, it still means that it's in our hands, and that is the most important thing.
Yeah. Pompey in Canberra on Twitter this evening's got in touch tonight, saying, "We've shown before we have the quality to compete in this division. Having been top of the table earlier on this season, let's get past Accrington before we even look at the playoff opponents. Anything beyond that is a bonus. If we can finish in the top six, it'll be exciting to see how we do under the Cowleys." The input of Pompey in Canberra on Twitter there. And really looking at, you know, this season as a whole, Tom, and really how it's unfolded, it really has been a topsy-turvy campaign. You look at the start of the campaign, Pompey were, what, occupying a relegation zone after the first month. Top at Christmas, we were 10th when Danny and Nicky Cowley arrived back in March, and now we are 6th with one game remaining, and a win would see us secure a playoff place. It really has been up and down all throughout the entire campaign, and really, that's the Pompey way. We don't do things easily.
No, not at all. You couldn't make it up. It would, you know, this is the only way it's going to be, for it to come down to the final day in our own hands. But it has been a bizarre season. But I think that's also part of, you know, these 46 game seasons. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's, you know, anything can happen during that time. Like you've seen with top of the league, but then also occupying a relegation place at the start of the season, then going to 10th, and then now back in the playoffs. You know, you just don't know what's going to happen. But you know, as I've already said, it's now in our own hands to get the job done.
And a stat here from Jonty Coleman from Hampshire Live, one of the reporters at Pompey Games this season, on Twitter. He's put an article out and very, very well-worked stat here. Danny Cowley, and really emphasising how he's turned Pompey's fortunes around at home this season. When Kenny Jackett left his position back in March, Pompey were 15th on points per game, looking at the home table. But since Danny Cowley arrived, the Blues are joint best in the same stat. So, Tom, you know, really looking at that stat and Pompey's home form prior to when Danny and Nicky arrived and after their appointment, really has been a dramatic change in fortunes at Fratton Park.
Definitely, and we needed it as well after last sort of after the terrible start this season. We went the whole of last season, I think, unbeaten at home, and then, you know, we just seemed to be failing to get 3 points at Fratton Park, left, right, and centre with his home games at the start of the season. So yeah, but I think home form is definitely an important factor going into these playoffs, and especially the last day of the season. You know, it's at home tomorrow. On Sunday. So hopefully, you know, this is going to be the one, and that home form has been instilled in them, and they'll be able to see it out.
Yeah, and it really is important to have that home form behind you, isn't it, Sam? Especially, you know, if Pompey are looking to book a playoff place, which they are on Sunday afternoon, a win would do that. Going into the playoffs with that record at Fratton Park under Danny and Nicky Cowley, that'd be the kind of momentum that the Blues would want to have behind them. I know previously in previous playoff campaigns, we haven't actually won a game. We've drawn every home match and we've lost every away fixture, but nonetheless, a win on Sunday and to keep that stat going is nothing but a confidence boost.
Of course it is. I mean, the way things have been with football recently in the pandemic, with fans not being at games, we've seen a bit of a jumble of all the you know, home bias of results. A lot of away teams have been the ones that have picked up the results. But if you can get those wins at home, it makes a huge difference to fans being there, of course, but it's so vital for any team to have that form at home, and if we can keep that going, then like you said, like, we've got such a abysmal record in playoffs in the past, but if we can get that one victory at home, like, almost guaranteed, then, you know, it puts us in good stead, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really, really does. And let's get to some of the interaction coming across on social media and the emails tonight. Then Linda Mayles got in touch saying, "Well, it is squeaky bum time on Sunday. At least it is in our own hands now, which a few matches ago it did not seem likely. Because I have supported Pompey since the early 60s. I have known the highs and lows of supporting our team. I just hope the team does not let the fans down and we can go on and actually win the playoffs." On another other note, the club has announced the flexi season ticket scheme again for next season. I thought we could have waited until the end of June to see what the government was going to do and sell season tickets after that. I will still buy a flexi ticket, but I still miss my normal seat. Play up Pompey. Linda Mail there on the emails. And yes, in case you have missed it, if you head over to portsmouthfc.co.uk or at Pompey on Twitter, the club has announced how they're going to move forward next season with fans returning back inside Fratton Park. The flexi season ticket scheme will continue. But I think, if we're being honest, Linda, I think that is mainly down to the fact that nobody really knows what kind of position we're going to be in the summer, in August, when next season starts in terms of COVID and lockdown restrictions and all of that. So I don't know, maybe that is something that could change before the start of next campaign, if restrictions are lifted and we can have a full capacity back again. But I think that is just the club being careful in the knowledge of it. We might not get back to normal anytime soon in regards to fans returning, that is at least. An email in from Graham Wilkins then. Hi, Jake and company. Firstly, I'd like to send the best of luck to United Services on their forthcoming semi-final against Binfield this Saturday. I gather it is being streamed live. Sam Carter, is it being streamed live again?
It is indeed. TBTV Sport on YouTube. There'll be links on Twitter from them, from the United Services Twitter. Yeah, they'll be streaming the game live at 3 o'clock on Saturday.
There you go, Graham. There is your answer. TBTV on YouTube, and you can head to United Services Twitter to find out more on that as well. He then continues by saying it would be good if they could win. On to Pompey. I'd like to see Downing keep his place as he's taken his chance, regardless of how good Jack Watmore is. It's going to be a nerve-jangling Sunday, and I just hope Accrington don't turn up, if you see what I mean. Although I do doubt it will be an easy game. I do expect us to win, as the players will definitely be up for it. I'm going for a 2-1 victory, with Curtis and Rags getting the goals. Good to see Jordy Hawula back, and hope he plays a pivotal role in the match. Play at Pompey, the opinion of Graham Wilkins on the email there. And if you'd like to get in touch tonight, like Linda and Graham there, you can. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. You can email in to pompey@expressfm.com, tweet using @expressfm, or go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. Now, Pompey only played Accrington Stanley 10 days ago, so we already know quite a bit about them. Not a lot has changed since that 3-3 draw at the Crown Ground. Nonetheless, Connor Moseley has the lowdown on Sunday's opponents, led in the dugout by John Coleman.
The final game of the season is upon us, and Pompey go into match day 46, knowing that a win would secure a playoff spot for a third year running. The challenge that lies ahead is Accrington Stanley.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Blues only met with Stanley a little over a week ago, when both sides played out a thrilling 3-3 draw at Accrington's Wham Stadium on the 27th of April. Here's a closer look at this week's opponents, who'll be hoping to disrupt Danny Carley's plans of sealing a playoff spot for Pompey.
Manager.
Now, 58-year-old John Coleman was appointed as manager of Accy in September of 2014 for his second spell in charge of the club. The Kirkby-born gaffer has previously managed them between 1999 and 2012, before being appointed at the helm of Rochdale. Coleman's 12.5-year tenure at Accrington saw the side win three promotions, all as champions, from the Northern Premier League and up into the Football League. Since returning, he's overseen 146 victories from 355 competitive fixtures, whilst also winning promotion again, this time from League 2 into the division they currently reside, League 1. Overall, John Coleman has managed a whopping 942 Accrington Stanley fixtures and is currently fourth in the list of current longest-serving managers in the English professional game.
One to watch.
Long-serving Stanley midfielder Sean McConville is one to keep tabs on this weekend. The 32-year-old has featured in 29 league matches this season, registering 9 assists, scoring his first and only goal of the season in the 85th minute at the Stadium of Light just 2 weeks ago, securing a dramatic point in a 3-3 draw with Sunderland. McConville, who's been at the club since 2015, also had a spell between 2009 and 2011. He predominantly plays on the left side of midfield, but has been known to slot him more centrally too. McConville scored Accrington's only goal in a 1-1 draw the last time these two sides met at Fratton Park, way back on the 4th of May 2019, also the final day of that particular season.
Top scorer.
Aki's leading scorer remains Dion Charles, who's still got 19 league strikes this season, having not scored since the last time we previewed Accrington Stanley just last week. The 25-year-old Northern Irish forward, who wears the number 32 shirt, last bagged in a 2-1 win over Doncaster Rovers on April the 20th, that day scoring a brace. Prior to that game, Charles hadn't scored since exactly a month prior, going 6 games without netting.
Current form.
John Coleman's side sit 13th in the table and have officially got nothing to play for other than pride and the pleasure of finishing in as high a position as possible. Accrington are on 64 points after 45 games and can only finish as high as 9th with a win or as low as 14th with defeats. They've drawn 3 in a row, including that 3-3 draw at their place the last time these two sides faced off just 2 match days ago. Stanley have recorded just 1 victory in their last 7 outings. That's a 2-1 home win against free-falling Doncaster Rovers. So, can the Blues secure victory in their final game of the league season and end the campaign in the playoff places? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
Connor Mosley there with a closer look at Accrington Stanley, who travelled down to the South Coast for a lunchtime kickoff this Sunday. The time is now 6:40, so the three of us are going to move on and now and turn to a very quick break, after which we will continue to preview Pompey's last game of the season and we'll also go through some more interaction from you guys back home. If you haven't done so already, we'd love for you to get in touch tonight. All the usual ways, it's 81400 on the text, starting your messages with the word Express. Otherwise, you can email into pompey@expressfm.com, include @expressfm within your tweets, or head to facebook.com/Pompey Live. When we do return, we'll hear the pre-match thoughts of Danny Cowley. He's been previewing Sunday's game and speaks about what a win would mean not only to him, but also the Pompey fans back home.
Our aim was always to try to peak for the big games and to play at our best in the big games. And these big games are so exciting for everybody associated with the club. And like I said, we know how much it means to us as people. We know how much it means for this football club and for the people of Portsmouth. And we need to make sure, come 12 o'clock on Sunday, that we show that in our performance.
Part 3 of the Football Hour is coming up next.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to Express FM and the Friday Football Hour, brought to you in association with Stagecoach Across the South. Visit stagecoachbus.com for more information on the services they offer, as well as the latest travel guidelines in accordance to government advice and restrictions. Please also remember that if you are to use public transport, the application of a face covering throughout your journey is compulsory. I'm joined tonight by Sam Carter and Tom Malley to look forward to Pompey's final game of the season. But before we hear from those two again, we're going to hear the pre-match thoughts of head coach Danny Cowley.
Well, Danny, Sunday's objective is pretty clear. Winning, you're in.
Absolutely. We're really pleased that it's on our terms. It allows us to put all of our focus and energy into us and our performance. And like I've said from day dot, it's about the performance. And if we get the performance right, then ultimately the outcome takes care of itself.
These sorts of games, you need players who are capable of big moments, and you certainly have that here, don't you?
We do. For us, we have some of the best attacking players in the league. That I'm in absolutely no doubt. And big games are for big players, and we believe that we have big players, and we're looking to perform at our best come Sunday.
And of course, with no midweek game this week and the game on Sunday, it gives you longer on the training pitch, which is something that you've always said you enjoy.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a great week for us. We've been able to have a full week on the training pitch. We've had 3 really good days, and that's helped. We're obviously a new group. We're still in a development stage. We're still trying to create the connections. We're still trying to add to our game day by day, and the week that we've had has just been invaluable to us, and certainly we've enjoyed the time that we've had together. We've done some good work in preparation for Accrington Stanley, who we have a lot of respect for. We've obviously played them recently, so it's a game where both teams are going to know each other pretty well, although I would anticipate the game being very different from the game at Accrington. Obviously the conditions will be different. Our pitch is a different pitch, and actually Accrington playing a different way at home as opposed to away themselves, so we're preparing for the game. We've been pleased with the work that we've done, and we always believe we work well during the week, we leave no stone unturned, then we put ourselves in a really good position to show the best version of ourselves come match day.
Yeah, you touched on it there, obviously having played so recently, is that potentially as much of a disadvantage advantage as it is an advantage, because, as you say, both teams know each other's strengths and weaknesses?
Well, we've got a lot of respect for Accrington Stanley. We have a huge amount of respect for John Coleman and his staff. Year on year, they pull up trees and overachieve. I think they've got some of the best attacking players in the division, and we know what a dangerous team that they can be. We always know that Accrington find the best version of themselves against the top teams in the division, and that's a challenge that we're looking forward to. We, again, were pleased with some aspects of our performance when we played Accrington recently. We were pleased with the resilience and the determination that we showed to come back into the game. We were pleased with some of our attacking play, but like I said, we anticipate a different game. Certainly we would like to get more control in the game than what we had against Accrington in the away fixture. It was a basketball game end to end, and certainly for us we like to get more control than that, so that's what we'll be looking to do. It's a great game for us, it's a great game for the football club. We know what it means to the people of Portsmouth to reach the playoffs. I think lesser groups, with the amount that's gone against them this season in terms of injuries, in terms of key suspensions, wouldn't have created this opportunity. So I think we have to credit the players for creating this opportunity. And now what the best players do and what the best teams do is when an opportunity presents itself, they take it.
And there may well be a bit of added poignancy as well with the sad passing of Alan McLaughlin, which we saw earlier this week.
Yeah, just desperately sad news for everybody associated with Portsmouth Football Club. Alan was a fantastic person, a fantastic player. I think the word legend probably gets overused in football, but it's certainly very true of Alan and his relationship with Portsmouth Football Club. I can remember him as a player, remember him really, really well. I remember him back in his Swindon days, and then obviously over 300 games for Portsmouth. I can remember the goal that he scores for Republic of Ireland against Northern Ireland that got them to the 1994 World Cup, and an outstanding player by all accounts, an even better human being. He touched a lot of people's lives in Portsmouth, particularly some of the players in our dressing room today, and I know he had a big influence on their careers. So we just, you know, from everybody associated with the club, just want to send our condolences and our love and our very best wishes to Alan's family at this really difficult time.
Looking at your team news for Sunday, I'm sure you won't tell us if he's going to be back in the starting 11, but you will have Jack Watmore back available for selection after suspension. That must be a boost for you.
Absolutely. Jack's been outstanding since the moment we arrived at the club. A top player. He's been a huge miss to us in the last four games, and it's been brilliant to have him back. He's trained really well throughout this period. It's been a difficult period for him because it's such an important time of the season, and he's played such a key role in the team throughout the season, really. So it's been really tough for him, but he's trained so professionally, been so dedicated and committed to his training. He's been excellent on the grass this week, and to have him back available and also Geordie back fit are huge bonuses to us going into what is a fantastic game.
And just finally, with it being such a big game, the message that you give to your squad on the day, will that change or will it just be business as usual?
I think for us, this week has been about the process. As always, it's been brilliant to have a full week's training. So vital to us where we are in our development as a group. Can't tell you how much that has helped us in preparation for the Accrington game. Our aim was always to try to peak for the big games and to play at our best in the big games. And this is why we live. You know, life for me is always for the living, and these big games are so exciting for everybody associated with the club. And like I said, we know how much it means to us as people. We know how much it means for this football club and for the people of Portsmouth. And we need to make sure, come 12 o'clock on Sunday, that we show that in our performance. And we're going to play with an energy and an intensity and a fight and a determination that allows us to get on the right side of what is a very, very good Accrington team. And if we can do that, then I think we will put ourselves in a really good position to be able to win the game.
The pre-match thoughts of Danny Cowley there speaking to Ollie Marsh at the club's training ground earlier in the week. And looking at Accrington Stanley then, Tom, nothing really to play for anymore. But, you know, boss John Coleman spoke to their club's media today about, you know, their desire to end the season strongly and going to Sunday's game with the same mentality as any other match, really. Unsurprising that he would say that, but we knew already just how tough this match is going to be.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, they've got nothing really to play for. They'll probably want to get a top half finish. But I just don't trust them. I think they're such a bogey team. I mean, they've taken points off us, Charlton and Sunderland, I think, in the last three games. And, you know, I don't expect them to sort of let us roll. For them to roll over and just let us win this one either. I think that a lot of respect should be shown to them. As Danny Cowley said there, they constantly overachieve. And this certainly won't be an easy win, if it is to be a win.
Mike T in Crispy Bacon Sarnie South Sea's got in touch on the text. Hi, Jake Way and the lads. Pompey to win 2-0 on Sunday. Let's stamp our authority firmly on this game from the very first minute right until the last second of injury time and the final whistle. We want to see passion and self-belief and Pompey win. The thoughts of Mike T and Crispy Bacon Sarnie South Sea there on the text. And look, Sam, going into this final game of the season, we mentioned earlier about, you know, this is typical Pompey to leave it late and leave it, you know, for a nervy finale on Sunday. But when you look back at Pompey's record on the final day of, you know, every season in this millennium, particularly since the turn of the century in the year 2000, only twice have Pompey won the final game of the season. One of those was in 2003, and the other one was in 2017. Sam, can you pinpoint the correlation between those two seasons?
Oh, I'd like to say that hopefully that's because a lot of the times, you know, we've been, you know, in the whether it was in the Prem in the early 2000s and or, you know, when we were struggling a bit but in mid-table, that we haven't really had much riding on the last few games. So, or and even in the last few years where we've been in the playoffs, you know, we've had that guaranteed. So you'd like to think that maybe it's because, you know, the players have, although that's not the best excuse, have had one eye on the summer and just a bit of a rest before, or like the last few seasons, just a bit of a rest before the playoffs. But 2003, 2017, that were the years you said, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so obviously 2003 championship winning season, mm-hmm. 2017, that was the League Two winning season, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. So both seasons that meant quite a lot. So you'd hope that, again, this year, there's a lot riding on this season now. It's where we've got the Cowleys in. It's a bit of make or break time now. And yeah, so you'd like to say that although, you know, the stat isn't really in our favour there, it does show that when things come down to it and it does matter, that we do turn up. So hopefully, again, that'll be the case on Sunday.
Not necessarily a stat that does work in Pompey's favour, having only won two, you know, final days of a season since the turn of the century, Tom. But when you look at those two games and the two seasons they were in, both of those campaigns, Pompey were promoted. So possibly a good omen on Sunday. If Pompey were to get the win against Accrington Stanley, hopefully we could make it three promotions out of three and which we've won the final game of the season.
Well, absolutely. You know, looking at any positives there, I guess. But yeah, nothing but a win would be acceptable. So it's more of a have to win rather than, you know, any other reason, to be honest. With regards to sort of final day performances. So yeah, you know, fingers crossed that if we do win, it could be in a third promotion winning season.
Yeah. Let's get to some more interaction we've got coming in tonight then. Mockers on Twitter. The more I hear Danny Cowley being interviewed, the more impressed I am with his modest operandi and his respect for our great football club. I hope he achieves his and our aims. Play up Pompey. Mockers on Twitter then, and a couple of comments on Facebook as well. Ian Sands, we do have the strength, but not much in it either way. Yes to the other two questions in terms of do Pompey have the capability of competing against the likes of Blackpool, Sunderland and Lincoln in the playoffs this season. And he also continues by saying that Ian Sands would be happy to see the Cowley brothers remain at Fratton Park beyond this season, regardless of the outcome of Sunday's game at Fratton Park. And some score predictions too on Facebook. John Gregory's going for a 2-1 Pompey win via a stoppage time penalty. God, that would, I don't think that would settle the nerves, John, would it? Colin Roundtree was going for a 2-0 Pompey win. Marcus Deacon says 2-2. Not that it matters because we're rubbish at the playoffs anyway. Stephen Shaft on Facebook. Pompey are a Jekyll and Hyde team that could win this one. I'm going for a 4-0 win. And Steve Pawsey is going for, well, he says just a win will do. I don't care if it is in the 97th minute and dodgy as hell. Steve Pawsey there on Facebook getting in touch with his score prediction. And let's take a look at the league table going into this final game of the season then. Very, very tight. And there are only three teams that can claim that final playoff position. Neither can finish fifth. That is between Sunderland, Blackpool and Lincoln to scrap amongst themselves where they finish in the playoffs. But the final spot, it will be contended between Pompey, Oxford United and Charlton Athletic. And as it stands, the table looks like this. The Blues are in sixth. They occupy that playoff position as it stands. They are on 72 points. Of course, they take on Accrington Stanley at home on Sunday. Oxford just below in seventh, a point behind on 71. They play Burton Albion at home on Sunday. And Charlton Athletic, they're also at home on Sunday. They take on the recently crowned champions of League One, Hull City, at the Valley. They also are on 71 points. So just the singular point separates Pompey, Oxford and Charlton for that final remaining playoff position. It is going down to the wire. So Pompey needs a win on Sunday. That is the bottom line. A victory would see us going to a third playoff season in a row. A draw, and we would hope for Oxford and Charlton to avoid victory on Sunday. Really, we don't want to rely on other results. We want to get over the line with a win. That'll do. It is as simple as that. It's not going to be easy, but that is it. That's all we've got to do. Sam Carter, your score prediction, please. Pompey, Accrington Stanley, final game of the season. What are you going for?
Oh, I'm going for a 3-1 win for Pompey.
3-1 win. Tom Malley, your score prediction, please.
Oh, I think this is where the mentality in the team will really show under the Cowleys, but I'm going to go a tight 2-1 victory to Pompey.
3-1 and 2-1 victories from Sam and Tom there. And just a few points from that Danny Cowley interview, in case you missed it earlier, Pompey fans. Jordy Hawula is back in contention to be in the match day 18 tomorrow. He's back from his injury. And Jack Watmore returns from suspension, a four-game suspension, after he picked up a red card at MK Dons away from home a few weeks back. Sam, Tom, thank you both ever so much, not just for joining me tonight, but throughout the entire campaign too. Have a great weekend. And hopefully we'll see a Pompey win on Sunday.
Cheers, Jake. Pleasure.
Thank you, mate.
Cheers, lads. And we'll hear from both of them next season, I'm sure. So this is it, Pompey fans. The final match of this League One season is almost here. The Blues are in action for one last time this weekend. They host Accrington Stanley on Sunday afternoon. The game is on telly, but of course you want to join us here on Express FM, don't you? You can catch all of the unmissable action right here on Express FM. We'll be live from Fratton Park from 11 a.m.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
3 points for Pompey at Plough Lane on Saturday afternoon. They beat Wimbledon by 3-1.
Brown! Oh, what a brilliant goal! 2 in first half, stoppage time!
Up next, the Blues take on Accrington at Fratton Park in the game that could secure the playoffs. Join us for all the unmissable action this Sunday from 11.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Well, the final game of the season. Match day number 46. Pompey take on Accrington Stanley at Fratton Park. A win would secure a playoff finish. OK, coming up tonight on Express FM, Connor Mosley is back with Express Floor Fillers after the news at 7 o'clock. He's getting you ready for the weekend, playing nothing but the biggest tunes to get you hyped up for the weekend. And then from 11 o'clock through until 2 a.m. tomorrow morning, we've got nothing but non-stop Express Floor Fillers. Also, more biggest tunes to get you ready for the weekend. Tomorrow morning, join Ian McGuinness for Saturday breakfast from 8 a.m. through till 11. Ian's got news, weather, travel, sport updates, plus 4 from 40 from 1991, a family fortunes random top 5, and a movies update with John Brown. And I will also be joining Ian tomorrow morning. I'll be giving him an update and a preview on Pompey's final game of the season, and we'll also talk about tomorrow's FA VAR semi-final for the United Services of Portsmouth. Lily Park is back from 11 through till 2, when Russell Hill takes control with the country music show through until 4 o'clock, which is when Mark Greenwood takes control with the Saturday supplement. So join myself, Liam House and Ryan Stillwell live from Fratton Park this Sunday from 11 a.m. It's a 12 o'clock kickoff, the final day of the season. Can Pompey get a much needed victory? Thank you for listening, Pompey fans. Have a great weekend. Take care and good night.